Have you ever felt compelled to jump into a new relationship a little too quickly? Or have you ever thought to yourself, am I addicted to relationships? Am I addicted to love? Is there some reason that I keep doing this the way that I'm doing it over and over again? Well, that's what we're going to cover in today's episode. But first, I want to take a moment to thank the lovely listeners who have recently contributed to the podcast. Jordan, Stephanie, and Lita, thank you all so much for your generous contributions to ensure that we can continue to make Relationship Alive. If you're finding the podcast to be helpful and would like to donate, just visit neilsatin.com/support or text the word support to the number 33444 and follow the instructions to choose something that feels right for you. Also, if you haven't downloaded it yet, be sure to pick up my free guide to my top 3 relationship communication secrets. When it comes to breaking the habits of codependency and any sort of love addiction, these 3 tips will help you stay connected, no matter what you're communicating about with your partner. And as I mentioned, the guide is free. So to download your copy, just visit neilsatin.com/relate or text the word relate to the number 33444 and follow the instructions. Finally, before we dive into today's episode, if you are looking for support in your relationship and you happen to be on Facebook, come join the Relationship Alive community, where there are more than 2,300 listeners gathered to create a safe space for those kinds of conversations. And if you want a little bit more Relationship Aliveness in your life, you can also follow the Relationship Alive official account on Instagram, where we're just getting started, but it would be great to see you there as well. Okay, I think that's it for now. So let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Relationship Alive. This is your host, Neil Satin. We're here to talk about relationships, right? And yet, what brings us into relationship? Why are we there in the first place? So many of us enter relationships for awesome reasons. Sometimes it's less than awesome reasons. And sometimes it's a combination of the two, right? You feel some magnetic spark with a person, but at the same time, maybe they support you in ways that aren't necessarily healthy for you, or you get trapped in some sort of dynamic that doesn't really make for the best relationship possible. And then you might feel like, oh, okay, like this relationship ended and you're ready to go into another relationship, maybe even a little too quickly. And it wouldn't be that uncommon for you to wonder, is there something about this? Am I actually addicted to being in relationships? Am I addicted to love? Is there something, what is it that's compelling me to do this? And I think it's interesting to tease apart what it is that might compel us in an unhealthy way to enter into relationship with others and what's healthy about it. Because when we're talking about addiction, there are positive addictions as well as negative addictions. So how do you find the balance, and how do you figure out where you land in terms of your approach to relationship? So we're going to tackle this question about whether or not you might possibly be addicted to love and relationship, how to know and what to do about it. And in order to have that conversation, I have with me today yet another esteemed guest. Her name is Sherry Gaba, and she's a therapist who is also the author of The Marriage and Relationship Junkie, a book that is available on Amazon and talks all about this question of how do you find your own path to health in terms of how you relate to others. And of course, that's a conversation we're having all the time here on Relationship Alive because, hey, I recognize that just like you, like, there's work to be done. And so we're going to dive deep into this question around addiction and obsession around love and see if we can come out the other side with some answers. As always, we will have a detailed transcript of today's episode, and to download that, All you have to do is visit neilsatin.com/, what should we call it? We'll say slash Gaba, and you spell that G-A-B-A, as in Sherry Gaba, our guest for today. Or you can always text the word passion to the number 33444, follow the instructions, and I will send you a link where you can download the transcript for this episode. All right, I think that's all I have to cover today at this moment. Let's dive in. Sherry Gaba, so great to have you here with us on Relationship Alive.
What a fantastic introduction. Thank you, Neil. That was amazing. And I love what you're doing in the world. And I'm loving just getting to know you. I love your energy. And I'm just grateful to have this platform today to talk about this really important subject.
Great. Well, we're off to a good start then.
Yeah.
So it is a complicated question, right? Whether we're drawn into relating with another person for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. Maybe you can help us start to tease that apart. How do we know if the reason that we're seeking out someone else is something that ultimately is going to support our health and growth and thriving in the world?
Well, let's look at addiction in general. You know, if you look at the broader sense of addiction, and love addiction and relationship romance addiction is our subject today. If you look at the broader definition of addiction, it's when your life is out of control and it's becoming unmanageable. And underneath that, you're making choices based on emptiness, a feeling of lack, a feeling of not wanting to be alone. That would be a love addiction. Feeling like the world is just a really scary place, almost terror that if I'm not in a relationship, if I'm not connected or hooked up to somebody, then I'm going to, quote, die, literally. And so love addiction is really under the umbrella of addiction. It's a process addiction. It's a lifestyle addiction. So think about, you know, binge eating or sex addiction or being addicted to exercise or internet addiction or gaming or shopping or spending. Those are all lifestyle addictions. So you're becoming addicted to a mood altering activity. In other words, your brain really lights up when you're hooking up with whatever it is that you're needing to hook up with, whether it's the food or the love or the sex or whatever your addiction is. So the relationship for a love addict is the only person's identity. And then if a breakup occurs, the addictive lover is longing for the attachment and the pleasurable feelings of that lost relationship. So just like the drug addict might maybe withdrawing from his or her drug, needing that, quote, fix, the love addict is needing that fix of attachment. And underneath, you know, all of us as human beings, we all want to attach, we all want to bond, we all want to connect. But when it becomes unhealthy and we start making really bad choices around that, then we're stepping into love addiction. For instance, you step into a relationship because you're afraid of being alone, like I mentioned earlier, or you're afraid of the unknown. Or you get into a relationship where you're trying to change them or fix them and not accepting them for who they are. Needing someone to make you feel whole, because like I mentioned earlier, you feel empty if you're not in a relationship. Looking for others for affirmation and self-worth and for validation rather than already having that within yourself. Being terrorized of abandonment. Having those withdrawal symptoms that I mentioned earlier, that if a relationship ends, you are, you know, in complete withdrawal. And then really giving up who we are out of the fear that we might lose someone or someone may not approve of us. So if any of those things sound familiar, you may be dealing with love addiction.
Yeah. And I'm reminded of when Helen Fisher was on the show. She has this viewpoint that in some respects, all love is addiction, and that's why when we break up, we go through symptoms and pain that's very similar to what any addict would go through when they are in withdrawal from their partner. But I like the distinction that you're making around how, and this is, I think, why love can be a positive or a negative addiction, right? Because you could be addicted to love with someone who's really good for you and where you actually really support each other and there's a lot that's beneficial going on. Or you can be addicted to love with someone where you're just fueling the dopamine rush.
Yeah.
And I think that is, go ahead.
Well, if you're feeling the dopamine rush, it probably isn't, you're addicted to a healthy relationship. Because I mean, yes, in the beginning, there's that fantasy, there's that attachment, there's that goo goo gaga feeling. Sure, that can happen. But healthy relationships really sort of move into a more mature, growing state of being. I mean, I'm not saying you can't have that goo goo gaga come up at times, but I think if you're constantly in that state, I think then it becomes more obsessive and then it becomes more unhealthy. I mean, I can't speak to all relationships, but I think healthier relationships sort of, they sort of change. They morph into other things. They morph into healthier love. They morph into, you know, other things like respect and nurturing. And it isn't just fueled by that, oh my God, goo goo gaga feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If we look at the addiction cycle, and we had Alex Katahakis on the show to talk a little bit also about sex addiction and addiction, that what we're really doing, the reason we show up for addictive behaviors, and you mentioned this a moment ago, is to help us with our own feelings of dysregulation and discomfort. We turn to the thing that gives us that pleasurable sensation for comfort. And I think you're right. Like, all relationships are going to do that at first to some extent. And as I was, you know, preparing for our conversations today, it just occurred to me, like, oh, right. So if you're in a relationship, like most relationships, where after a certain period of time, the dopamine energy starts to fade a little bit, and you haven't necessarily figured out how to build health into your relationship, and those healthy bonding behaviors foster lots of oxytocin, which is another, you know, a pair bonding hormone, then you're going to be missing the effects of the dopamine, not because there's something wrong with your partnership necessarily, but because you tune back into sort of what's wrong with you and those feelings of discomfort. And so then you have to chase the dopamine, whether it's escalating the drama or ditching someone for someone new so that you can get that, because you're not equipped in that moment to actually deal with your own dysregulation and discomfort.
Right. Well, you're addicted to the high, so to speak. Yeah. You're addicted to the romance. You're addicted to the newness factor. I mean, I am a love addict. The best time for me is that first falling in love. That's the part where, you know, I am, that's where I'm most comfortable. That's my go-to. So if, you know, the problem with that is, you know, you're picking from a place of need versus a place of healthful being. You know, in other words, you're picking from a place of emptiness. You're picking a place of, this person's going to fill up this need that I have, that I don't feel whole already, that I need somebody else to fill me up to feel good about myself. And hopefully we can lead into a conversation about early trauma, because that is a huge piece to this subject. And often I'll share my own story, because I think people underestimate what early trauma does and why that is a huge piece in the love addict behavior, or the need for that high, that initial high, where you're always chasing that early high. We often say with addicts, they're chasing that first high, you know, that first, you know, crack experience or that first alcoholic experience, whatever, heroin experience. Well, the love addict is chasing that first high of falling in love. That's where everything, that is it. This is utopia. This is where it all is. And unfortunately, it isn't sustaining. And when it does change, hopefully it'll change into something healthy. But for the love addict, it generally does not turn into something healthy. And usually the love addict picks people that aren't healthy for them. That's another piece to this, is that love addicts tend to be attracted to love avoidance. They're attracted to people that are unavailable. They might be attracted to people that are abusive, and they don't care because they want that high no matter what. And they're picking what they know rather than what's good for them.
Right. Right. So if you're in a relationship, what are some of the signs that you might see happening in your relationship if you've veered into addictive territory?
Well, I think if you're putting up with abuse, of course, you may be with a narcissist. I think we talked about this a little bit earlier, but over adapting to what others want, you know, kind of losing yourself in the process, mm-hmm. Having no boundaries, always saying yes when really no is not even in your vocabulary. This terror, this fear of letting go, fear of the unknown. So you stay because it's better than what might be out there. At least you know what you're getting here, even if it's unhealthy. You're always trying to, you know, fix and change your partner. That person is what makes you feel whole and complete. You're absolutely empty. You're in the ethers of emptiness without that person or in relationship. And then that person is all that you are in terms of you're seeking their affirmation, their validation, their acknowledgement. All your self-worth is based on being with that person. You're petrified of abandonment. You might have some of those withdrawal symptoms when they're not around, like you only are comfortable when they're in your space. But if they're off to work or off with other doing other things, you feel completely lost. And, you know, you give up who you are out of fear that they may not want. You know, you give up who you are. You lose parts of yourself to be with this person.
Got it. So I'm feeling a pretty... I'm doing the diagnosis here on myself even, you know, and thinking about how even relationships in the past that have started out healthy, they can veer into this territory if you're not careful. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, and then we're talking maybe more about a codependent relationship. And, you know, I hate throwing out words like, you know, codependent or even the love addiction word, because people, you know, it becomes very cliche. Because what you said earlier in the call, and I really picked up on that, was that some of these things you have with your relationship, but they're healthy. And in other words, you love that person, you respect that person. And sure, that person on some level maybe completes you on some level. But the question is, if that relationship wasn't there, would you be okay? Sure, you might be sad and you would grieve and you would miss that person terribly, but would you be completely lost? You know, I think of my own mother. My father passed away and they had a 60-year romance. When my father died, and again, this is part of grief as well, but it was a little more pathological than that. My mother picked up the first man that looked at her, and he's a very bad man. She picked somebody that really is a predator per se, and he knew exactly what he was doing. And she's in a relationship in a very unhealthy relationship with someone that's completely taking advantage of her because she is petrified of being without somebody.
Mm.
She just can't even function. And so that's when we're really getting into territory that's dangerous.
Yeah.
You're actually being taken advantage of. And that's a whole other conversation. I mean, there is a whole world out there. There's just in LA alone, there's probably 10,000 predators out there on, you know, picking women that just will believe anything that they hear just so they can couple up and partner up and bond with somebody.
Yeah, what it makes me curious about, I picked up on the sense of not being okay if you were to be alone. And because I think that's so important to have that sense of okayness, like that brings with it so much freedom to really see your relationship clearly, to see your part in the relationship clearly. So if we were to take a listener on like a step or two down the road toward, like if they're looking at themselves right now and saying, wow, like, yeah, I'm not sure I would be okay if this fell apart. I mean, there may be some practical considerations to that, like maybe their livelihood is dependent on their partner or something like that. But I think you're talking about even more like kind of the existential sense of like, no, my life might fall apart if I weren't with this person. Or
right.
How does someone go about starting to restore that sense of inner safety so that they can bring that to the relationship?
Well, maybe that this is a good time to talk about early trauma, because, you know, if we grew up in a situation where our parents were really unavailable, maybe they were addicts, alcoholics themselves, maybe there was a divorce, maybe you were raised by a single parent and they were busy working and you kind of felt invisible because your needs weren't being met. Maybe you were in a situation where you were almost parenting your parent. Maybe you were abandoned by a parent. There's this panic that sets in. And then what happens is you're looking for anything outside yourself to fill up that pain and that panic. And you'll cling to anything and anyone. You'll you know, you're craving for something else to make you feel whole. So the question is, if you're already in a relationship, what draws you to this person? Is it because this person adds to your life? You feel like it brings joy to the joy that you already are as a person? Did you already feel whole as a person? Were you ever successfully single and just loving life as a single person? Or your whole basis was, I need to attach to someone because without attaching to someone, I am lost. I'm like that child that didn't have a parent that was available to me. You know, do you feel like you're not enough without that relationship? Do you feel enough anyway? You know, do you feel good enough even without a relationship? Are you unconsciously attempting to satisfy that developmental hungry, sort of that hungry ghost that people talk about, Buddhists talk about? Are you trying to satisfy that? Or does that person, again, add to your sense of being and sense of self? Or are they just completing what you are not? And are you always looking outside yourself to fix yourself, your fear, your pain, your discomfort? Or do you have that safety within yourself to, that's a great word. Are you able to self-regulate yourself? Are you able to be alone at any time? I don't know if that answers your question, Neil. I mean, I think it's so great that we're diving into the fact that if you're already in a relationship, do you have these things? And I don't want people to freak out and think, oh my God, I have a love addict and I'm in a relationship. I better get out because I got to find myself. No. It's not about that. But I think there are ways to start creating, look and see, do you have early trauma? You know, were you abandoned? And then if you were, you know, how to start healing from that. For me, my trauma was so early, it's kind of unbelievable. I was in an incubator for 2.5 months. So I started out in the world unregulated. Mm-hmm. I started out not having that early bonding with my mother. She didn't hold me for 2.5 months. And then even when I came home, she went to work right away, so she was unavailable. And I didn't get what I needed. And so I was always looking for something outside of me to fill me up. I was almost, I was always looking for that quote breast, so to speak, that's kind of a metaphor, but it's, I was always looking for something else to completely, cause I felt complete. I didn't get that mirroring. I didn't get that bonding. I didn't get that security, that safety. So, those are some things to think about. What was your early childhood like? Did you go through any of the things that I mentioned, earlier? And if you did, how do you work on those issues? For me, I got into therapy with someone that does what's called somatic experiencing. And now I'm a practitioner of that. And it's getting back into your body and being able to be okay within yourself. Mm. Instead of always running away from yourself, always thinking something else can complete you when everything you have is right there within you.
Great. And yes, we've had Peter Levine on the show actually to talk about somatic experiencing.
So. Oh, wow. You've had some amazing guests.
Fortunately, yeah, I'm so happy that he was willing to chat. And I do believe that in particular is such a powerful modality for healing early traumas. And what I love about it, because it's based on your sensation, you don't necessarily have to know what it was, right? It goes by this theory that the trauma is just stored in there. And so you're giving your body a chance to process things that are stuck that it should have processed through whenever the trauma, and it could be a big T trauma or a little T trauma, whenever that occurred. So there's nothing abnormal about you or anyone with having something that might be stuck within you that just needs to be healed.
I love that. I mean, I want people to know that there is nothing wrong with you. There might have been something that happened to you, like you said, a big trauma or little trauma. And let's discharge that energy that's been built up so that we can get unblocked, so that we can bring in health and wholeness, so that you can feel complete just within yourself, so you don't have to seek outside yourself to feel good. I mean, the truth of the matter is, just being on this call right now is the first step, because people are going to become aware, like, oh, this is interesting. Let's get curious about this. And then, from there, make a decision to change. Learning to stop looking for external solutions for problems that can be solved within. Really explore their personal fears and really get out of the denial. That's a huge piece with addiction. Addiction is the only disease that says, I don't have a problem. So really, you know, open yourself up to, yeah, there might be something here. And really examine those early suppressed traumas that might have occurred early on in life that we just talked about. Maybe go ahead and listen to your Peter Levine interview so you can understand trauma a little bit better. You know, start self-parenting yourself. You know, really look, you know, I sometimes suggest to people find a photo of you when you were a child and stick that photo right next to your bed and just start loving that inner child that maybe didn't get what they needed. You know, become really a loving, forgiving, and compassionate person to yourself. I mean, you didn't just wake up one day and go, oh, I want to be a love addict. I want to feel pain all the time. I want to feel like you have to completely, or I feel like nothing. No, that isn't what you didn't cause anything. It's just from your experiences in your history, this is what happened. That energy never got completed, like you said. And just use the pain to grow and prepare for a healthy relationship or the relationship that you're already in, and just really begin to trust in yourself and to, you know, to let go of what no longer is serving you, and you know, find a really great therapist, find a really great coach, but somebody that, you know, really understands perhaps trauma work. I don't know if coaches really do trauma work. Some may, but you want to make sure they understand the trauma piece. Maybe find a Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous meeting. I mean, there's so much support out there to work on, to begin working on these issues.
Right. And in your book, The Marriage and Relationship Junkie, you do offer some great tools for people who are looking to rebuild, and you don't have to be alone in order to go through them. So I'm glad that you qualified that earlier on, where you said, you know, if you're in a relationship, you don't have to panic and abandon just to, like, right, find yourself.
Exactly. And you know what you said too earlier, it's such a great feeling. It is. And I think you said it, I think you used the word, it's freeing. Like I divorced I've had multiple marriages, multiple relationships. I divorced my ex-husband. He was an alcoholic and he couldn't get sober. And I really, you know, gave it my best. And I was lost when that relationship ended because it was a very codependent, obsessive relationship. But once I healed, you know, and I started doing things for myself, I joined a great 12-step program. I took up canoeing. I started really finding myself. I was able to then healthfully pick somebody else that was much better for me, because I knew that no matter what, I could be on my own. And I have to be honest, I never felt that way before. I had never been able to really be alone successfully and be happy. And I truly was happy and single. And that brings me to, you know, another topic, which would be, is changing your verbiage around it. Instead of saying to yourself, oh, I can't be alone. Oh my God, I can't be alone. It's like, I can be single. I mean, doesn't that sound a lot better? I can be single rather than I can't be alone.
Yeah, so much better. And it just, you know, makes me think of how very few of us truly are alone ever. I mean, I suppose it is true for some people, but you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're here with me in this moment, right? And odds are that there are other people in your life who care about you and who want to support you and not see you in pain and not see you suffering.
Right. Exactly. I mean, we all want to bond. We all want to connect. I mean, the opposite of addiction is connection. But the point of this call is really healthy connection, right? That's the point of your podcast, healthy relationships. Yes. And so that's, you know, I mean, but it's not about stigmatizing you if you are in sort of a codependent relationship. How great that you're on this call and now you can start changing things up a little bit. And, you know, loosen up that codependent relationship. You know, find other things in your life that help you feel good about yourself. And if you have that trauma, really start working on that trauma, because that's really where it all begins. You know, I do some coaching. I'm a psychotherapist, but I can't tell you how many times I'll have a coaching client and they're just stuck. And that stuckness, you know, they've paid for every class, they've listened to all the podcasts, they've bought all the books, but there's something inside of them that's stuck. And so to me, it really begins with moving that trauma out of your body so that you can have a purposeful life and a meaningful relationship.
Sherry, we're going to take just a moment to talk about this week's sponsors, and both of them have a special offer for you as a Relationship Alive listener. Our first sponsor today is RX Bar. They make a whole food protein bar that's super tasty and super healthy. They're gluten-free, soy-free, and dairy-free, and have no added sugar. No artificial flavors, no preservatives, no fillers, and they're made with simple, real whole food ingredients, with egg whites at their base for protein. So that's a protein that's really easy to absorb. And then they also sweeten the bars with dates. So they're still sweet and yummy, but they just don't use any sugar or refined sugar. And they're perfect for a meal replacement, a snack on the go, which is why Chloe and I typically have one or two with us wherever we go. Usually more than one, so that we can share them with other people or with the kids or, of course, with each other. Overall, there are 14 flavors to choose from, with some additional seasonal flavors as well. My favorite is the peanut butter chocolate chip. It just kind of reminds me of some sort of comfort food. And Chloe really likes the sea salt chocolate. Although, lately, I've also been really liking the maple sea salt. And RX Bar has a special offer for you. For 25% off your first order, visit rxbar.com/alive and use the coupon code ALIVE at checkout. And this is valid in the US only. So that's rxbar.com/alive and use the coupon code ALIVE for 25% off your first order. If you listen to the show regularly, then you know that I often talk about how important it is for you to take care of yourself. It's something we're talking about today, in fact, and this week's sponsor makes it easier to do just that. Their name is TakeCareOf.com, or Care Of, and they are a monthly service that delivers personalized vitamins directly to you. And as I mentioned, they also have a special offer for you. Now, more than 90% of us are deficient in at least one important vitamin or nutrient, and Care Of makes it easy to find out exactly what you need to support your health goals by taking their fun and quick online quiz. They ask you about your lifestyle, your goals, your diet, and following the recommendations of their scientific advisory board, they come up with a personalized daily package of vitamins just for you. Now, I was looking to balance out my nutritional regimen and for a little help staying focused and relaxed in a life that can occasionally be a little stressful. So after taking their quiz, Care Of had a custom-designed regimen of vitamins and supplements just for me, and I was excited to try it. And maybe you're like me, where taking on anything new or establishing a new habit can be a little challenging. Well, Care Of makes it easy and interesting with the daily packs, which, along with being really convenient, they also have an interesting quote or question or fact or intention on each package, which actually has helped me look forward to and remember each daily pack of vitamins and supplements. I also really like that they're transparent about how they source all of their vitamins and supplements, and that they offer vegan and vegetarian options to match your specific dietary needs. And of course, all of this is in support of you, to be able to meet the nutritional and health goals that are important to you and specific to your body, which is something that I've been feeling really good about for myself. As I mentioned at the beginning, Care Of has a special offer for you. For 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and use the promo code ALIVE at checkout. That's 25% off at takecareof.com with the coupon code ALIVE. So thank you for taking care of yourself, and thank you, Care Of and RX Bar, for your support of the Relationship Alive podcast. And now let's get back to our conversation with Sherry Gaba. Yeah, so a couple things. First, let's just regroup, and I want to mention to you listening, I've mentioned a couple other episodes. If you want to check out the Peter Levine episode, he's been on a couple times, but you definitely want to hear episode 29, which was the first one that he was on to talk specifically about trauma and healing trauma. The other episode he was on was talking more about building resilience, which is also important, but not as relevant to what we're talking about here. Also, the episode with Alex Katahakis talking about addiction and what's involved in like our neurobiology of addiction and how to heal that, that is episode 116. So I just wanted you to have those so you can listen to them later. And Sherry, I'm really curious because so many of the tools that you offer in the Marriage and Relationship Junkie are very practical, and I hear you as a strong voice of support for someone getting help. And I'm always talking about that here on the show, that there are some things where it's just easier if you're not trying to do it by yourself or trying to kind of wing it or reading a book and trying to put it into practice. That being said, I would love to offer our listeners something really powerful here that they could do or they could try on their own that would give them a taste of the kind of healing that we're talking about, a taste of the kind of personal empowerment and freedom that we're talking about. And so I'm wondering if, just speaking those words, if there's anything that comes to mind for you that we could offer our listeners as a way to get started, to jumpstart the process, whether they're single or in relationship, or if you have a different idea for both, then that's good too, because there are plenty of single people who are also listening to the show. I hear from you all the time to learn so that when you're in your next relationship, you're prepared. And I so appreciate that. I wish I had had a show like this, honestly, to listen to way back when.
Well, I'm thinking the beginning is just to see if you have this issue, is to maybe take my quiz. If you go to sherrygaba.com, I have a love addiction quiz, and that's just a first step in seeing if you are a love addict. I also have a quiz at sherrygaba.com on whether or not you're codependent, because you can be codependent and not be a love addict. You know, codependent may be someone who's always trying to fix, control everything outside of themselves, sort of addicted to people, places, controlling people, places, and things. But a love act is a little bit more specific, and that is that you are addicted to love, relationship, romance, and, you know, feel empty if you're not in a relationship or with somebody. So those are great. That's a great place to start, is to take those quizzes and see if you, if it applies. I have some free eBooks that go along with those quizzes. My book is almost like a workbook. Every chapter has questions and answers, you know, questions for you to answer, to journal on. It's really, it's years and years of personal and professional experience in a book.
I found that it was really a great synthesis of lots of different modalities. And, you know, you talk about inner child work, which you mentioned a few moments ago. You talk about healing trauma. You talk about taking proactive steps in your own life so that you're building your own strength and presence in the world.
And even talking about the law of attraction, on how to attract somebody in a healthy way. Because energetically, you know, we attract what we are. I'm sure you've had conversations with people related to positive psychology or law of attraction. And the truth of the matter is, energetically, you know, we're going to attract exactly where we are in our life. When you're in a healthy place, you're going to attract healthy. When you're not, you're going to attract not healthy.
Right. So I would love it. And I'm putting you on the spot here. So I'm admitting, freely admitting that there's maybe a little bit of pressure here, but I'm curious. Yeah. If I've listened to this conversation and thought, yep, that's me. Like, I don't need to take the quiz. I know it's me. And oh my God, with what Sherry just said about like attracting, you know, what is within is what we attract without, you know, like now I'm really screwed. What can we do to help someone experience a shift? Even around that, how do you experience that shift in who you are? Let's say, I mean, what's coming to me is like who you are energetically and what you want to be in the world in such a way that you can feel what it's like to see the world with different glasses on.
That's a very broad question. I don't even know how to answer that, because I think it's a process. I don't think there's an instant fix.
Yeah, of course not.
I think the only thing I can say is the fact that they're on this call and they're hearing things that feel like that could be me, then they're actually moving out of denial. And that's the first step. I suppose what I would say is the first step is waking up to the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, waking up to the truth and, oh my God, I realize that I am not complete unless I'm coupled up. And just knowing that is the first step. And then the next step is to, you know, like you said, you can read a book. That doesn't always do the magic. I'd love for people to pick up my book and dive deeper into even my story to see if they can relate, and all the exercises. But, you know, hiring somebody like yourself who does relationship coaching, or maybe working with someone like me who dives more into the love addiction piece. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what you're asking, Neil. You definitely put me on the spot.
Okay. Well, I feel like this will take form. This will take shape. So I'm not worried.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I could do with everybody right now, which might be a way to metaphorically move to the other side in the moment, is I can do some positive affirmations right now on the call.
Great.
So, and then, you know, we know that positive affirmations change the wiring within your brain. And if you keep doing it, it's going to keep changing the wiring in your brain of how you see things from negative to positive. So I'm going to say some affirmations. Maybe Neil, you can repeat after me and everybody listening. And this might answer your question of what would that feel like if we were kind of in the middle of that transition from, you know, emptiness to wholeness. What do you think?
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. So repeat after me. I am a lovable and valuable person.
I am a lovable and valuable person.
I am deserving of a healthy partner.
I am deserving of a healthy partner.
Who is capable of loving, respecting, and honoring me as a person.
A healthy partner who is capable of loving, honoring, and respecting me as a person.
Withdrawal will not last forever.
Withdrawal will not last forever.
My needs and wants are important.
My needs and wants are important.
All my experiences contribute to my growth.
All my experiences contribute to my growth.
I am learning to let go of dependencies on others.
I'm learning to let go of dependencies on others.
And relying on myself for happiness.
And relying on myself for happiness.
I walk away from toxic people.
I walk away from toxic people.
I create my own truth in love.
I create my own truth in love.
And that's that. And so maybe there is a little energetic shift that people might be experiencing right now. Again, I'm not about instant fixes, but this is a beginning point. This is a starting point. And that's really all we have, is a starting point. And then we transit, you know, we grow from there.
Yeah, one thing that I really love about that exercise and the practice of positive affirmation, yes, there's the way that it reinforces a different neuro pathway within us and a different energetic pathway in terms of what we project into the world around us.
Yes.
On top of that, I feel like I got to recognize, oh, these are the places where there's a little bit of dissonance within me. Like where when I say it, I can't say it with 100% conviction. And so if that's true that I'm not able to say it with 100% conviction, then to me that indicates a place where there's some work to be done.
Like, yeah, I love that. That's so true, because for the law of attraction to work or to attract what it is that you desire, you have to be congruent with what you're saying and believing and what you're actually doing on the outside. So
yeah.
That's exactly true. There is a dissonance. If you're feeling any kind of like, oh, that's not completely true, then there's a really good chance that how you're acting in the world, how you're behaving in the world or being in the world is not a match to how you really feel. You need to kind of work on that a little bit, because the congruency is what allows you to attract, you know, either the healthy relationship that you desire or the one that you're in.
Right. Right. This reminds me a little bit of the, like, what might be a next step in this process. It's not the next step necessarily, but a lot of times with my clients, there can be this moment where you realize, like, oh, for instance, let's say this wasn't true for me in this moment, but it has been true in the past, where I might say, like, oh, I'm worthy of being loved and I'm lovable. And I think I've even shared with my audience on in a past episode a time when that actually didn't really feel true for me. And so when that's not entirely true for you, the choices that you make are totally different than if you are to, like, if you recognize, like, oh, there was a little bit of a hitch when I said that statement out loud, or it could have been one of the other things that Sherry just offered you, then you can ask yourself, like, well, if I did think that I was lovable and worthy of love, how would I act in the world from that perspective? Mm-hmm. You get to try on that lens.
Yeah.
Once you've identified, like, where it's missing, you can be like, well, if I were that, like, what would the world look like?
And even more importantly is to make friends with that intuition that you know to be true. In other words, don't run away from what you know to be true, because that then you're stepping into that denial lens again, is where, oh, I feel this and I know it's not right, but I don't care. I'm just going to, like, close my eyes. And my whole mission in life is to keep people awake to their truth. So not to be afraid of the truth. The truth doesn't mean you have to break up with your partner this minute. It doesn't mean that you have to spend the rest of your life soul searching. It doesn't mean that you have to go get a divorce. It doesn't mean that you have to get off that dating app. It just means you need to just become aware and to stay in truth. And as long as you do that, transformation is possible.
Yeah, I take a really strong stand for the process that we go through as individuals and the effect that can have in our partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
So lest you think that if you're in a dysfunctional relationship, I mean, the whole point of this show isn't that it's perfect. The point is, like, yeah, it probably isn't perfect. And so you get to take steps that help you transform you and thus transform the whole dynamic.
Yeah. And to, you know, not be afraid, not, you know, let go of that fear. Just welcome up the chance to transform. Welcome up that life is messy. And as long as you stay awake and you're willing to grow, I mean, we're all growing, we're all changing. We're all making better choices, hopefully, learning from our mistakes. But, you know, it's not about beating ourselves up. It's about having the great compassion of humanity that we are, that we're just humans doing the best that we can. That was one of the points of writing the book, The Marriage and Relationship Junkie, was that I really wanted to eradicate the stigma around someone like myself, who's been married multiple times, who's had multiple relationships, instead of walking around thinking I'm a failure, or those that read my book think that they're a failure because they just couldn't get it right, is to just have an understanding of where that began and how can I change that, the trajectory of the future, so that I maybe do things in a different way and make different choices, because, you know, life is filled with choices. And to own up to those choices, not to beat yourself up because of those choices, because there was a reason you made those choices. I mean, my choices were already sort of paved for me when I was born 2.5 months early. I mean, there was nothing I was going to be able to do about that. I had separation anxiety. I had abandonment issues. And that was going to be, those feelings were going to be based on the decisions that I made in relationships.
Right. But they were nobody's fault.
Nobody's fault. So we're not victims. We're just people that come from different histories, different experiences. And there's a reason where we are. I mean, I did one podcast with a woman who's been married 6 times. She had no idea. She started hysterically crying on the call. She was the host, because she goes, oh, my God, you have labeled what I've always known but didn't know what to call it. You know, that's me, you know, and it's like, okay, that's me. Okay, great. So let's get curious about that. Doesn't mean we have to divorce our 6th husband. It just means, you know, am I in a healthy relationship? Did I make a good choice? And what can I do to kind of heal all of that brought me here today?
Right. I mean, they say the 6th time is a charm for a reason, right?
I think it's a 3rd one.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. I mean, you know, my attitude is, you know, do it till you do it right. I mean, I don't think I ever, I mean, I won't say never. I'm not really interested at this point in my life getting married again, but I certainly am enjoying a healthy relationship. And, you know, I think that anything's possible. Anything's possible.
Yeah. So one important thing that I'd like to chat about before we go, because I think one of the hesitations that people have around labeling, and you used that word a moment ago, labeling themselves as an addict, is the stigma that comes with it, the sense of like, oh, this is inescapable. If I admit that I'm an addict, then, you know, you hear the, you know, talk about a cliche, like once an addict, always an addict. And, and I'm curious for you, what's the truth in that versus the that there is a true path for healing? And, you know, because I like that sense that the truth will set you free. If you're willing to look at your patterns, then that gives you a whole lot of power to make different kinds of choices for yourself and to heal the dysfunctional ways that you're looking for connection and regulation in your life and create positive ways of doing that.
Well, I think if you are a love addict per se, let's say, I'm not going to address substance abuse because that might be a different top. That goes a different way. That's a whole other topic. But if you feel that you might be a love addict and you feel like you've had early trauma, I highly, highly recommend getting the support you need around that, finding a really great somatic experiencing practitioner, you know, reading up on Peter Levine's work, maybe even getting EMDR. That's another modality. I think that really healing that early trauma is important, because without that, I don't think you can make choices that are going to be in your best interest, because you haven't healed what is already inside of you that needs to be discharged in order to bring positivity back into your life. That work was the greatest work that I ever did in my life. Join a Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous meeting, do that work so that you can bring healthy love into your life. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough, because once I did that work, my whole life changed. Am I still a love addict, I guess, is what you're asking? Yes, I have to always be mindful for the rest of my life about love addict codependent behaviors. If I start getting obsessive, if I start, you know, just focusing on the person I'm with, start giving up my friendships, I have to be continually vigilant of those things. And what I'm here to say is, once you do that work of trauma and self-regulation, you're less apt to become codependent again or making someone else your whole life, because you don't need to do that anymore, because everything that you know and feel is within you. You feel whole already. So there's no need to be attached to just that one person. But I still have to be vigilant about it. Does that kind of make sense?
Absolutely. And the question, it's kind of a rhetorical question that comes up, is like, well, why wouldn't you want to be vigilant about those things? Like, that I would want to know, like, first thing, if I'm starting to sacrifice my friendships and, you know, disappear into my relationship, and like, I would want to know that at any point in time, addict or not.
I'll give you an example, a raw and real. I actually have a boyfriend, and he's going to be going away for a couple of weeks, and that early piece of trauma kind of comes up and goes, oh, this feels a little bit scary. Like, oh, am I being abandoned? And then I just kind of, but because I've done the work, I can sit with that and I can be, you know, be with it and notice it and feel it and discharge it, instead of like become needy and obsessive and go into like fear and he's going to leave me, you know, all of those things that I would have done in the past. Instead, I can just be the curious observer of the feelings and the thoughts, and I can let it go. And that's a real example.
Yeah.
That, you know, that it's that I'm still that baby that was born, you know, 2.5 months early, but I have tools and ways to deal with those feelings that might come up rather than act out on them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I'm reminded too that this sort of clicked into place for me actually when you were describing that, which is that I think probably part of that, the dopamine rush that we were talking about earlier in that pleasure, it actually is creating the illusion of safety. And, you know, I think it's been theorized, maybe John Gottman was even talking about this, that if we didn't kind of feel that temporary love blindness at the beginning, we might never get into relationship anyway. Like you almost kind of need that to jumpstart you into connection. But that being said, there are so much healthier ways of developing safety. And you were just talking about that inner safety. And then there are also, of course, the healthy ways of developing safety in your relationship, so that when your partner goes away for 2 weeks, there's true safety there. There, so you can counterbalance your inner safety with like, and we've created a container that actually I can rely on and I trust.
Exactly. A container within and maybe a container in the relationship. But yeah. Certainly that container within is vital, or you're going to do behaviors that, you know, you're going to start doing all those obsessive behaviors, that those needy behaviors that are not going to help the relationship.
Right. Yeah. Crucial stuff. Well, Sherry Gaba, thank you so much for being here with us today. What a far-ranging conversation we've had. And of course, I feel like we could talk longer, but I want to respect your time. Your book, The Marriage and Relationship Junkie, is a great read, full of very practical stuff for you. If you're thinking that this is something you identify with on some level, and there's a path towards recovery in the book. So I highly recommend that. Sherry, you mentioned your website, sherrygaba.com, and it's SHERRRY. I guess we should clarify that. We'll have links to all of this in the transcript for the show, which, as a reminder, you can get if you visit neilsatin.com/gaba. GABA, or text the word passion to the number 33444 and follow the instructions. Sherry, well, I really appreciate your time today.
Oh my God, I love this. Is probably one of the best interviews I've had. You truly know your subject, and you've obviously done a lot of homework and work on yourself and your relationship. And I'm really grateful for your platform and for giving me this opportunity today. Thank you so, so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you for listening to another episode of Relationship Alive. If you like what you've heard and want to make it easier for other people to find out about us, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast and to rate and review us on iTunes. If you have questions or comments or want to continue the conversation, you can always join our Relationship Alive community Facebook group. And for more information about today's episode, visit us online at neilsatin.com/podcast. Or you can always text the word passion, P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to the number 33444 for more information. Finally, do you have a burning question that you're hoping we can have answered here on Relationship Alive, either for a future or past guest? Let me know and I'll see what I can do. Take care and see you next time.